Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We have a very special guest joining us who has a very interesting perspective, a perspective that very few people have ever had before, and that is on death penalty in general and method of execution. Curtis McCarty joins us right now, who spent 21 years in prison in Oklahoma, 19 years, as I understand it, on death row for a 1982 Oklahoma City murder. It was Pamela K. Willis found murdered in the city. It was a crime the DNA proved he did not commit. He was convicted twice, sentenced to death three times, ultimately ended up being prosecutorial misconduct, and bogus testimony from a forensics analyst. And we're pleased to have Mr. McCarty joining us here at KSL. Mr. McCarty, thank you for being our guest.
Good morning. You're welcome.
Here in the state of Utah, we still have the death penalty. It is legal in the state of Utah. We switched to lethal injection several years ago. There are those who are on Utah's death row who chose over lethal injection, the firing squad. Now that lethal injection is the only choice on the books, the discussion on Utah's Capitol Hill, and it looks like this is going to pass and be signed by the governor, we are bringing back as a plan B, if lethal injection is not available, that we'll go to firing squad. What is your reaction to that, just generally?
I understand why they're doing that. They're concerned for public safety and making sure that people commit heinous crimes are held accountable for what they did. But I have felt for many years, and it started while I was still inside and observing what was going on around me, that those resources, that time and the discussion and the effort is so much better spent on prevention of crime, to making sure that the people that we love and our fellow citizens aren't victimized by homicide to begin with. And, you know, that means identifying young men who are behaving badly and using those resources to get their lives straight so they don't end up turning to violence purposefully or accidentally, rehabilitation. And those families who do lose someone to violence, they need help. There's an inordinate amount of money spent in capital litigation, and it is necessary. And just for me as an example, it was upwards of $10 million that the state of Oklahoma spent trying to kill me, and that could have went to victim services and rehabilitative services, all other kinds of programs or services. To make our community safer, and it just seems like such a waste to concentrate on such a subject. You know, how are we going to kill somebody as opposed to stopping that person from being in that position to begin with?
As I was reading up on you, I wasn't totally familiar. I'd heard about this when you were exonerated, but I didn't know a lot of the details. I understand the prosecutor that basically convicted you put 73 people on death row. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wow. 73 people, 20 plus, as I understand, have been executed now. Do you, as you look back on your experience, do you wonder if some of those 20 that were executed might have been innocent as you were?
I'm certain that a few of them were. It was heartbreaking to watch that entire thing play out all of them years, and seeing all these young men who had normal lives, and whether it was drugs or some other misadventure that got them into trouble, seeing how badly their lives turned out, and the lives of the victims in those cases, and just a tragedy all the way around, especially for everybody's families, the victims' families and the offenders' families. And there doesn't seem to be an answer that's going to help anybody. And that's why, I came to the position that I did, that the best thing that could have happened is that that person never would have died to begin with, that there would have been some sort of intervention. And seeing those guys just that I was certain was innocent, and seeing them having to pack their stuff and give it to the guards to give to their family and take that last walk where they say goodbye to everybody before they put you in the what they call the waiting cell, the death cell, and to be killed a week later was heart wrenching, and it breaks my heart to this day. And I just wish we could find something better to do with our time and our resources.
As far as the method of it, for those states, including ours here in Utah, including still Oklahoma, that have the death penalty, does it make a difference how people are dispatched to their maker ultimately?
No. You know, there comes a point. It happened to me. My time was running out, and I started having to seriously face my own mortality and, you know, fill out my last will and testament and stuff. And you don't even think about that kind of thing, whether you're going to be shot or injected. You just know it's over with and that there's been, you know, this great shame brought upon you and your family and your community because of what you did or alleged to have done, and of course, the victim's family. And it just... You know, I guess maybe it's an academic exercise for the rest of us, but for the person sitting there, it really doesn't matter.
What would you say to those who are contemplating this at this point? As I mentioned, it pretty much appears to be a done deal in our House and Senate, but the governor will make the ultimate decision on whether to sign this or not. And again, we're not discussing doing away with the death penalty, but when it comes to determining method of death and just overall, what would you say to Utah state legislators right now?
I think I would just reiterate what I said at the beginning. I understand your anger and your concern, but hopefully you can sit down and reconsider this and where these monies could be better spent. Like I said, prevention and stuff. I understand. I lived next door to a serial killer for 5 years. I understand the anger and the dismay that people have at the behavior of some of these men. I was horrified by his conduct and hated him for many years, but in the end, he was, I trust in our correction system for the most part, and the men and women who administer it, and they keep us safe by identifying and securely housing those men who are really dangerous. Cold case units, there's so many ways to spend that money. So we don't have these discussions anymore. We don't talk about how to kill people anymore. We start talking about how to keep them alive, our friends and our families and our neighbors. Yeah.
Can you imagine you just flat wouldn't be here today. You and I wouldn't be talking if it wasn't for the DNA evidence. You would have been dispatched years ago to your maker. I can't even imagine what that must be like to have that thought in your head that if not for technology, if not for DNA evidence, if not for somebody stepping up and testing, what was it, hair that was found on the scene?
That was what was falsified. What they eventually came across was some evidence slides that had been stored at the medical examiner's office on the night of Pam's death. That had never been touched by anyone from the district attorney's office or the police department. So the federal judge that I was in front of allowed, because she had an order in place prohibiting DNA testing in this matter based on the probability of evidence tampering. But she lifted that order with the encouragement of the Innocence Project in New York and the FBI in Washington, D.C. They were instrumental as well in clearing this matter up. She allowed the DNA testing, and it exonerated me, and it wasn't... I wish I could say that it was that day that we all hope for, where, you know, the cavalry rides to our rescue, and I've been there so long and seen so many people die, and it just didn't mean what it should have meant. It was a relief, and I'm happy to be alive and to be free again and be able to participate meaningfully in my community, but... You know, it haunts me to this day, all those things that I saw, and that every bit of it was unnecessary, and I don't know.
Well, Mr. McCarty, I appreciate you joining us and sharing your story and your personal experiences, and I wish you well. And again, thank you for joining us here at KSL.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
Curtis McCarty with us, 21 years in prison, 19 years on death row, convicted twice, sentenced to death three times, misconduct in the prosecutor's department, testimony from forensic analyst Joyce Gilchrist, whose lab misconduct contributed to at least two other convictions, later overturned by DNA evidence. That prosecutor sent 73 people to death row, 20 of whom have been executed.